This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And tell our office you listen to the What's Bugging You segment, and you'll receive 10% off any termite treatment. It's time for What's Bugging You.
Oh, gosh, I forgot again.
Yeah, I did too. But...
Dang it.
Okay.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Perfect.
Uh-oh.
No, I had one from earlier in the week, and I told the guys to save it, and I just remembered it. You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is going to, boy, run the risk here of sounding like a real jerk. But
you're in the right place.
All right.
Not here's, you.
Here's what I want to say. Okay. I'm sure that this is true in all little leagues and youth sports everywhere. Okay?
I'm already laughing.
I'm sure that this is true everywhere. I want to be up front with this. I don't care about the final score. I don't care about my kids' stats. I don't care. I just want everybody to get a hot dog after the game, be friends and smile, learn the game, play it the right way, all of that stuff. There's only one thing when I'm watching a youth sporting event that will get me frustrated and up out of my seat. So the Little League where my son plays, the umpires are only about a year and a half older than the actual players.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with it. Give them a little paper, get them a job, get them out there, and look, bad calls, sure, bad calls. That's fine. I don't mind bad calls. But if, as a league, if you're going to ask the coaches to give literally 20 hours of their time preseason so that they can get fingerprinted, so that they can have background checks, so that they can learn the keys to all of the sheds all over the city, so that they can this, they can that, they can do a Zoom to learn about pitching and the rules, and
right.
We've got this rule, we've got that rule. We're going to do that with the coaches. Could you spend 20 minutes with the umpires to explain the game to them? I don't care if they get the call right. I go to a game Tuesday night, ready for this?
This is
right-handed batter, pitches a little high and tight, so the batter does that duck out of the way thing where the bat comes forward.
That's
a
strike.
Maybe. So what does the umpire do? Right-handed batter, we're going to appeal to a 12-year-old that's in left field. What did you see? I can tell you what he saw. He saw nothing. He's in third base. He can't. The batter's right. Do you even know what you're watching? I don't mind if you got it wrong. You're 13 years old. Do you understand what's actually happening out here? So please, league, Just have the kids, before they earn that job, have them come on a Saturday and for 1 hour teach them the game that they're out there governing. And then if they get all the calls wrong, they get all the calls wrong, and we'll go get a Coke after the game. But for God's sake.
What did he call it? Did he say he went around?
They did what teenagers do. They looked at each other and went, ugh.
That's like volleyball.
Ball. Okay. Like, what? I mean, what are we doing out here? I just want everyone to know the game. That's all. So that's bugging.
I think that's fair.
No. I've been there.
You, me?
Your turn.
Okay.
Right. I'm here to three.
You know, it's bad enough. It's bad enough that Bart Riders are now taking suitcases, luggage, backpacks, comfort animals onto Bart. That ship has sailed. Can you please do me a favor, and every rider a favor, when the doors to a stop open, please move out of the way. Mm. Take a glance over your shoulder to see if somebody behind you actually may need to get out, and if you don't, well, then you got to expect the little clothesline coming from behind. You got to get out of the way. And the same principle applies at the conveyor belt at the airport. Can we all stay 5 feet away from the conveyor belt? We all look at it together. Oh, there's Jimmy's red bag. Jimmy, now walk up to the conveyor belt and get the red bag. But no, everybody's got to stand next to the conveyor belt. They're about six deep. It reminds me of the Who concert back in Cincinnati. And you can't get your bag even when it comes out. Just common sense.
Yeah, I'm over Bart. I don't know the last time you've been. I'm not no snob. I'm done. It's just hell on earth on there. I don't know how a guy like you, like Willard, have you been on BART lately? It's out of control.
It's been years.
Yeah.
But I live in an area that doesn't have BART.
All right.
So like,
look at my man.
It's kind of an
unfair.
I wish it did, but yeah.
Now, you're the only one in Marin that wants one.
I would.
Now, Willard, I know Stani truly loves me, and I think you do too, but I know how you've defined me, and I accept it, and I still like you.
How have
you
I
know
defined
I'm it? Weird. Because what I'm about to say
he said that to you yesterday on the show.
He did.
She made me laugh out loud. He's like, you're weird.
And he's the weird one.
I don't interrupt. Go ahead.
All right, here I go. Major League Baseball, I've been waiting, and you showed up, and we finally had opening day. I was disappointed that everybody didn't play the same day. I get it. Nothing about where you had the game at a week ago or a week and a half ago. I understand. But I'm just the guy that likes to look forward. And I'm watching the Giants. I'm watching A's Mariners. Townsend on A's cast after the game. That's how much I love baseball. But to find out today, 99% of the teams are off when you just started yesterday. And if it's because of weather, give me a rain out. But to look and see on the baseball calendar a day after you had opening day, there's no bowl. I just think there's got to be a better way. Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Buster Posey's, Ricky Henderson's, Derek Jeter's, Jorge Posada's, Matt Williams. When they played opening day, it signaled there'd be a game right after. And Willard, I'm just hurt that 90% of the baseball teams are off today. And I'm hearing, oh, it's weather related. I just get out of your own way.
It's weather related?
Well, so now they're saying back east because it's supposed to rain.
So they built in an off day in case it rains.
Have you watched some of these weathermen and ladies? They get them wrong all the time.
Yeah, they made this schedule months ago. So it's not like they were looking at a report.
Like, I'm hurt. I know it's weird.
Did you know that? I don't think that's weird at all.
The Giants are not playing.
No, yeah, it's terrible. And did you know that the Rockies and Rays are playing right now and didn't yesterday? They have not had opening day yet.
I could truly break my iPhone. They didn't play
yesterday. They didn't play because they're the Rockies and the Rays.
So, like, nobody.
And they're playing today.
Yes.
Right.
In a minor league stadium.
What is going on, Steiny?
I just went back to 1986 and they played every day after the opener.
That's why he was quiet.
Let me go to 1975.
He was Googling.
He was speaking
coming off of his laptop.
I appreciate the honesty.
I actually always thought I always thought Cincinnati played on Sunday to open the season. Then they were always off on Monday. And then they played Tuesday. But I guess
don't remember
maybe it is that fairly
Sunday.
New.
Well, I remember it being a holiday for the kids in school in Cincinnati. But Sunday,
the teams that are playing today, like you're a Pirates guy.
Yeah, they played yesterday. So
and they're playing today.
I give you that.
Do they play tomorrow? Are they doing like a 4-game series?
I should know about tomorrow.
Let me look. I'm gonna look at the Pirates schedule and see how this works.
Went back to eight. That is beautiful.
They're doing a 4-game series.
Okay. Wow.
They're doing a 4-game series. Wow. So that's why they're playing every day.
And you hit me in the cardiac muscle yesterday. You didn't even know it. Especially the way the Giants came back. The Pirates blew a 4-1 lead. The bullpen. When you don't have one of those, it is the most, I think it's the most horrific way to, because you know, here comes Willard. Oh, boy. And then you give it up. It's a bad way to lose.
How's a Reds fan feeling? They took their kid out of school. They went down there yesterday. Went opening day, watch Hunter Green throw BBs.
He was throwing triple digits.
Sit there all day, maybe get some popcorn.
But seventh and eighth innings, Willard, the Reds bullpen kept the Giants at bay.
Right, right. And then they stuck somebody out there who's like pitched twice. To go win the game, coughs up a 4 spot, and now you got to sit on it for 48 hours. Eat that.
Man.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Can a bullpen.
Oh, my. Yeah, no, the bullpen.
It's incredible.
Offensive line of a baseball team. Can't win without
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to equate it to other sports. In the NBA, you're either good on offense or defense.
That's not the
same. What's equivalent to
Willard's
a bullpen?
Now, Willard's work.
You sure you don't want to stay? Come on.
Where are you going?
That's such a genuine smile.
How can you leave me here solo? Willard.
You're with Willard.
He wants you here.
Had I been asked.
The director of sports.
2 days ago. The bottom line is, it slipped through the cracks. Somebody made a mistake, just like somebody did on the signal chat, and everybody wants to pretend nothing happened. Nothing to see here.
We're just a bunch of men.
I gotta go.
Ahead. No, you can go.
I hope you feel good getting on the elevator. I really do.
What, an appointment for what? Your hair looks great.
He called it networking.
Yes.
You have a networking appointment?
Are you trying
to build the resume a little bit?
Let me give you the Fitzgerald.
I don't really believe you're leaving. Like,
you'll figure it out in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's going somewhere.
Man, networking is what he told. I tried to guilt trip him into staying.
Networking is, that's fair.
I could never watch a guy, my partner, do something that he wants me to do and the host.
I have to work tomorrow. You working tomorrow?
You're going
on 95.7. I'm working tomorrow. Are you working tomorrow? You're not.
Optional.
On 95.7 the game. Mm-hmm.
Getting paid for it.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego? Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. Stay cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's go. You have to change the open for this day. You can't say them white boys are cool now.
Grandpa Daddy.
Can't do it. I've been excited for this all.
I'm juiced.
I don't want to say all week because I didn't know that that we were going to do this all week. But as of about 48 hours ago, you're a kind soul to agree to hang out for a little bit.
Truly, I could do it every day. And I, you know why I leave. We won't even get into that. But before they can get out, Mark, well, I'm in. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's
no
go.
Doubt.
For the first time ever, Willard and Goo.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll open it up, 888-957-9570. You can call in. It is. It's a different kind of a show today. Goo's going to stay till 3.
Yeah.
Then from 3 to 4, I'll do some talking. Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us.
Fitz. Oh, man.
Fitz from New Orleans. Yep. Yep, or as some people in my family call it, nope. Right? Like, nope. Yeah, when you look at the abbreviations of teams.
NOP.
Like, are they going to win tonight? Nope. So
that's
our nickname for the.
Have you been there?
No. In disappointing fashion, yeah. I was told that I was going to have a trip to New Orleans, and then it got yanked out from under my feet. This is the days, Lucas, tune in. These are the days that I worked at USC.
And, Trojans.
And I worked on the football broadcast.
Come on, Willard.
And the football team was told, we're going to the Sugar Bowl this year. We're going to the Sugar Bowl. Our intel is telling us we're going to the Sugar Bowl. And this is like three or four.
See, I like these stories.
Yeah, three or four different forms of the college football playoff
ago.
So this is back when you still selected two teams to go to the national championship game, and then the other teams would just filter through the BCS game,
gotcha.
The Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, all of that. Well, the USC, this is Carson Palmer's USC. They were going to be a wild card team, and the school is being told the Sugar Bowl wants you to be there. They're going to grab you. And I guess there is like a little bit of a draft. The bowl committees.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? It's like, selection. Okay, your turn. Who do you want? And then the Orange Bowl jumped up and grabbed USC in what was behind the scenes a shocking turn of events. And so I'm getting told for weeks, get ready. You're going to New Orleans. We're all going to New Orleans. I'd never been before. I was so excited. Next thing you know, we ended up in Miami. Which was, by the way, not a bad thing at all.
That was the first time I went to Miami as well.
You
went somewhere.
We went somewhere.
I hadn't been there either, man.
And USC blew Iowa off of the field.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. But anyway, so, yeah, New Orleans tonight, 3 to 4. I'll be solo. Fitz is going to jump on. Warriors live at 4. And then at 4:30, we'll send it out to the arena in a game that they flat out, they have to win.
They do.
Absolutely, unequivocally, there's no wiggle room tonight.
You could call me Halloween right now because you could say, Goo, you're being scary. But with who's not available for the Pelicans, am I wrong just to have the thought, and I told Stani this, can we give the chef a little more rest maybe?
Oh.
Or, you know, like, do we really, truly need him back for this one?
Yes.
But if he wants to play, I get it. But there is a part of me just like, okay.
How many reminders do you need, though?
You're right.
Right? Like, when the stars are out, like those people that
get over Denver.
Yeah, those are NBA players. I haven't heard of any of them. You're right. New Orleans actually has
16-point favorites, the Warriors are.
Yeah, they've got 4-plus players, at least on their roster, right? Zion,
he's
not playing.
Nope.
Trey Murphy, he got hurt. He's gone.
McCollum.
CJ McCollum is out. And this team also has DeJounte Murray. He's been out for a while, and he is hurt. None of them are playing tonight. So who's playing? I have no idea. Have you heard of any of the Pelicans?
Herb Jones.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's where the nickname comes from.
Yeah. Lucas said Trey Murphy in my ear, but you said him.
All four of them. Thanks for listening to the show.
Herb Jones as well.
Sure.
Out. Yeah.
Sure.
That's just
BJ Boston.
But no.
Also out.
Also out.
Yeah.
And most people haven't even heard of them. So, no, that like dude, you got to turn this thing around.
Okay. All right.
This is.
They're in the play-in with all the winning that has gone on and my but they're seventh right now.
All right, so let me run something at you, and I want everybody, like, I'm going to make a request here to listen to what I'm saying slowly because
I'm gonna do my best.
If you hear it fast, you'll think I'm the biggest moron you've ever listened to. And some of you already think that anyway, which is totally fine. I never agree with Willard. Well, you won't hear either unless you listen to this. That's all I ask. Let this spin around in your brain for a second and then tell me what you think. And if you still think I'm a moron, great. 888-957-9570. Call me a moron. I was thinking about this in the aftermath of the Giants winning on opening day. Fun game.
Yeah,
it is a whatever, one baseball game. And meantime, the 49ers are just this big wild card. We don't even know what the draft looks like or who's on the roster, but I do know they have a good coach and a good quarterback, at least in my opinion. I do think the Giants can be a good team this year, but, you know, Dodgers, are they great? You know, probably not. But of all three teams, obviously the Warriors are the most likely to make the playoffs.
Right?
All right? Because they're practically in them right now. So of all the three teams, the Warriors are the most likely to make the playoffs. However, I would be most surprised if they were the one of the three that won a championship this year. I find that to be the longest shot of the three as we sit here today. And the reasoning behind that is, A, not that I think the Giants are like some, quote, World Series contender, but I think they can be a good team, and it's baseball.
No doubt.
It's baseball. So, like, whatever can happen all the time. And in football, as I already said, Niners hasn't come together yet, and I think they've got a really good coach and a good program and a good quarterback. So it would not blow my mind if things happened over the rest of this year that led to the 49ers being a division winner and therefore somebody who could run all the way to the end. But as I sit here and look at this Warrior team, and part of it is shaded by what has happened this week.
All right.
As I sit here and look at this right now, I'd be shocked if they won it all. I'd be shocked.
But just so I understand, Willard, I get that because that's why I stopped at Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand scheme of your question, you've admitted that they're closer than the Giants and Niners,
right,
which you would be shocked by two. But being that they're the closest, I'm lost a little in regard to
high floor, lower ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Higher floor, lower ceiling.
Mm. I'll tell you what, you're not weird, and there's something about doing it four times, and the Warriors have, some of them three, but the fact that they've done it four times, I really believe, and I can be a sucker, wouldn't be the first time, Willard, I believe pedigree means something, and I'm looking at the number two seed Houston Rockets. They've shocked me, kudos, but as soon as that calendar turns to game one of the playoffs, I want you to show me. And OKC for that same match. So, Willard, I don't see the Dodgers in the Giants' way, because I got the Dodgers winning. Right. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't see a Dodgers in the Western Conference. And then when I look over in the East, I see Boston. You shoot 93s again. Excuse me. Like, Willard, I think it sounds crazy, but I think if the Warriors were to start clicking, it could be done.
Well, again, I'm not removing it from the realm of possibility, but, and I also, it's funny because I spent part of yesterday being like, can we not skip to the end? Because
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we do,
I
that.
Do it all the
we
time.
We do it too much in sports. We want to skip to the end. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of fun in the middle. Like, maybe I'm a weirdo. Like, I'm excited for 5 o'clock.
See,
they're playing a bunch of people I've never heard of, but I'm excited. Because I want to experience the game. I want to go on the journey of these next 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks and 3 days.
Man.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks and 2 days left in the regular season.
April 13th,
that
right?
The Clipper game is 2 weeks from Sunday.
And it could mean something.
It could absolutely mean something. It could mean everything. It could mean clinching a playoff spot. It could be its own version of a play-in game. If they have the same record as they get together, as they do now, on that day, the winner gets the sixth seed, the loser's in the tournament. That could happen.
Let me just throw this real quick. Will, what I don't like about this is the loser may, it's so bunched up, the outside of two,
mm-hmm,
that the loser may get what they want. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe.
I don't want to face Mark Willard. If you lose, you don't have to. Like, I know nobody will admit that, but the way I'm looking at it, and it bothers, like Minnesota, they're behind the Warriors, but I'm thinking to myself, are they really playing chess when it's checkers? And I know winners win, and you don't throw games. But Willard is so jumbled, I am wondering, oh, boy, we fought the good fight. We lost to the Warriors. Now we go here instead of there. If
maybe,
there's some of that.
Maybe, but if you fall into the play-in, then, Now you have one
you
game.
I want no part of that.
I want no part of it.
Because right now it'd be Minnesota.
It would be Minnesota. And oh, by the way, if you end up in a 7-8 game and you lose it, even if you still end up in the playoffs, you get Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell, like, you're dead.
Okay.
You're dead. And that
would take too much.
Well, that's where I'm coming from. Like, when you say, okay, let's say Warriors get the 6 or the 7 seed and they play Houston and pedigree matters. Couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Couldn't agree more. Can the Warriors win in round one against the Rockets? Absolutely.
All right, I'm feeling that.
Now, let me say it a different way. Sit here today and tell me that you feel you wouldn't be shocked if in a three-week period the Warriors did a 7-game series with Oklahoma City, followed by a 7-game series with either Cleveland or Boston, and they won them both.
No, nobody could answer
that. Would shock me.
All right. When you put it that way, I'll give you that.
So that's kind of like.
But who would fight you on that? And I'm the biggest, like.
Well, because there's in there is tucked into it some sort of absurd belief in the Giants and the 49ers that people would not see on paper right now. And I get that, but I only say that because neither of those have really even started yet. The Giants are one game in, and the 49ers haven't even built their roster yet.
Like, I got question mark. I don't know who the 2025 Niners are.
Right. But that, to me, the way my brain works is that means it could go well.
It might not. You got a soft schedule.
It might. Yes. Very soft. And I keep talking about how Vegas and the fan base.
What is that?
Sound different. Vegas still thinks the Niners are one of the big dogs of the NFC.
Well, maybe you're going to say this is crazy and they don't think like this out there. Have they earned that benefit of the doubt? Because I can make an argument, Willard, with the state of the Niners as is right now, and you still got players, and I know people are going to come for me. This is the most important draft ever in the Kyle regime, just from the standpoint that I think they have said bye, and they didn't use free agency. They didn't go overboard and get drunk during free agency. So a lot is going to be dependent on these hits, not misses in this upcoming draft. I could be wrong, but I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, this is what we believe we're going to get Mark Willard in here and he's going to be able to contribute at some juncture.
I think that's fair. I think that's completely fair.
What are the odds though to hit that three or four times? And they've been having some stuff that, I like that. But, man.
Yeah. Are they going to? Well, look, what do they got, 11 picks?
Yes.
And you're saying that basically three or four of them need to be starters right away? That's asking a lot. It's not crazy, though. How many starting level players did they get in last year's draft?
Pooney for one.
Mustafa.
Okay.
Man, and I think they think Renardo Green, although it took a minute. That's the other part.
But sometimes he showed up, though.
Renardo Green.
And you're fired up, but you're thinking about those two. Like,
am I forgetting anybody? Pearsall, I think.
Well, he counts.
I mean, he will be.
But he counts.
He will be.
We know why he didn't make contributions early. I'm just.
Pearsall, man. I mean, did you see Schefter's report today?
No.
The doctors said they're optimistic that Brandon Ayuk will be ready to play midseason.
No, and it's one
I
of
heard,
those.
I heard, yeah. I'm like, oh,
but
God.
But you laugh with me, well, like, man, yeah, wake me up when you're
the
ready.
Sentence, and I was ready for the sentence to have a different ending. Like, Adam Schefter. Right? He talked to the doctor, and the doctor did the surgery, and the doctor is optimistic, and I was ready for that sentence to end with Brandon Ayuk will be ready for the start of the season. And the sentence ended with Brandon Ayuk will be ready by midseason.
So he's on that green light. No doubt.
What the hell's happening?
That was a severe injury.
Very severe injury. Yeah.
I feel, man.
Busted the whole leg up. All right. Let's take some calls.
Okay. I got
Guru staying all the way till 3. How fun
take
is
that,
this?
Steiny.
That's right. So 888-957-9570. We'll take your Warrior calls. This is an absolute must tonight. It is an absolute must tonight. No messing around with a team that has none of their stars. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types are welcome. Dibs is in San Diego. Guru's here. Your phone call's next on Willard and Dibs. Can you name the name of the lead guitarist for U2 who's probably the one riffing right there? It is not a name. It is a word. And it used to be. Used to be a ride at Great America.
The Edge?
Nice!
Did I get
you
it?
You got it!
Oh, my goodness! Goo on fire! Wow!
Yeah, them white boys ain't cold.
You did it.
That was that ride scared me, man.
Oh, dude,
wow,
that ride.
The Edge.
I'm feeling good.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you want to
if
you want to relive the Edge, but multiple times, you can go to what I think they call it Guardians of the Galaxy now at California Adventures at Disneyland.
Oh man,
it's like down and then up and then down and then down.
I'll pass wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Guru's here till 3 o'clock. Everybody, Dibs is out, and it's a short show, so I'll be solo up to a Warriors Live after that. We'll take some calls in a second. I have some NBA breaking news for you.
I'm trying to guess it, but just give it to me.
Well, how about this? Since you're doing such a good job guessing things. And
I haven't looked at anything.
Name player just got announced as out for the rest of the year.
Oh, and I'm going LeBron James.
That probably would have been. I think Lucas would have hit the little bucket.
No.
Yeah, not
okay. And I'm happy it's not him.
Not that big.
A big
name player is out for the year.
Jason Tatum?
No, it will not be affecting the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Not be affecting the playoffs.
Give it to me.
LaMelo Ball. Is out for the year.
This is I guess the season's over for them already.
Well, yeah.
What is it? His foot?
I don't even know. I don't even think they need to announce it. They're just like, he's just out. We're tanking, and he's out. We're two games ahead of Washington, and we'd like to be on the other side of him. So LaMelo Ball is out for the rest of the year.
You know what? Two minor procedures to address ankle and wrist issues.
Minor procedures. In other words, things that could happen 3 weeks from now. But no, let's do it now. Because we're two games ahead of the Wizards, and we'd like to be on the other side of them.
You know what, Willard? It's like, I listen to your show every day. Your guys' show every day.
I listen to your show every day.
And I appreciate it.
That's coincidence.
And there's a lot of times where I'm like, he's talking to me, but he's not. But I'm a fan. So I appreciate, like, the Jonathan Kuminga. You're about the Warrior jersey, and so am I. But I hate when you have me question. I don't want to come off like I'm either or.
Well,
so I'm with you, but then I'm like, I think he's describing me. There should be no divide.
No, there should not be.
It's the name on the front.
I do not want to be a JK lover or a JK hater. I want to be neither.
Do you think this is natural just across the board when it comes to some guys and gals on teams
certain
to where
players.
It's just a divide?
Just certain players.
Trey Lance, Brock Purdy.
Brandon Belt was one of these guys.
Man,
you
the
had
captain.
They literally had a name for people who liked him. You were a Beltist.
Wow.
They had a name for it. And I don't know if I can define what makes a player one of those guys where they're just so polarizing. Sometimes I think it's situational.
Okay.
Right? It's players who are good enough to be good, but maybe not good enough to be great, and the team has sort of at times packaged them as a central figure to what they're doing.
Mm.
And then the debate comes.
Going the other way.
Wait a minute. Can that guy be a central figure to what you're doing? I mean, look, and I'm going to talk a lot about this at 3, but the comments that Steve Kerr made, they were layered.
Dude.
That was not like... Because
I got a lot out of why maybe he hadn't been playing as much as I wanted.
Sure.
And so was that fair, you think, for Kerr maybe to do? Or he needed to do it to let everybody know?
It's completely fair. He can say whatever he wants. Do I have this on the board right now here, Lucas? Which one is it? Because if we're going to talk about this, we should let everybody. Okay. Here we go. So listen to the way Steve Kerr talks about Gary Payton being out. And I'll just say, if it was any other player, if it wasn't like Captain Divisive, you could stop this soundbite at Gary's out, and now Jonathan's going to be our defensive stopper. Yeah. But that's not what he did. It keeps going, and in there is where all of this discussion and constant debate
keeps happening.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Okay. It's
delay it on me.
Well, when I listen to Steve Kerr talk about Jonathan Kuminga, it sometimes sounds, boy, I got to really be careful here. It sounds sometimes like the way people talk about, like, their teenagers or their kids. Do you see him kind of guide through, not just we need to be our defensive stopper, but now we're going to say all of the characteristics of a defensive stopper. And it lands as if you are openly trying to define to Jonathan what he's going to have to do. And I think therefore read into it that those conversations have happened before and you don't always see it. No. So you're begging somebody to do the same thing over and over, and you only see it sometimes. And for me, that's why I made the analogy I did, because that's how it lands for me in my life.
Yeah.
Is, right, time to get in the shower. I said, time to get in the shower. It's time to go. Get in the shower.
I've been there.
I need someone else. Get right that thing that we do. And I might be reading something into it. I know you guys said that. You might be reading something into it, but it feels like that's fair in this particular case. That that's what I take from listening to that.
And I'm not even mad at you, Will or Tupac. Like, that was right. I hadn't even gotten there with it, but you are right. There was, he didn't mention anything, and I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but he did. He didn't mention anything about attacking the rim. He didn't mention offense and all the things that JK can do in his sleep. There was a to-do list, and I feel like that list had been sitting there. You needed to get in the shower. I told you hadn't. So as much as I'm excited, or as excited as I am, Willard, for Kuminga and this opportunity, I think he's been telling us he's had opportunities and he hasn't taken the bull by the horns.
For sure.
So now, instead of this celebration, it's almost like he had to itemize what you need to do to stay on the floor, and it's only up to one individual, and that's JK. And hopefully, you know, on defense, like, I don't know why it hasn't clicked for him. You know, and we got a lot of people, Tim, calling for you and Stani in North Carolina. That's my guy. I'm rooting for Kuminga, but I know he can get lost on D. You can't get lost no more. Like, these next 10, it can, you got to get on the floor. You got to do something to let them know, hey, it might not even be perfect, but jump off of the screen today, Willard, so we can say, oh, Jonathan was doing, and people are going to get mad at me, Pods, Moody, Santos, they get dirty. Kuminga, you can too.
Do you know what I would get that would excite me like through the roof?
Give it to me.
A double-double.
Wow.
I'm not talking about a burger.
Yeah, I was like, in and out, animal style.
How excited would you be if we went to bed tonight and JK had 17 points and 12 boards?
And I would be excited.
Please. Please, I'm literally ready to beg.
You have.
And I think he is too.
You have the talent.
For sure.
You could do that in your sleep.
Why, everybody who wants to call in and go, he can jump out of the building, but apparently only on one side of the floor.
Yeah. And I said this to Stani. You tell me what you're thinking. I can say it with my chest out. This is me, Willer, talking to you. If you put Kuminga's body and gave it to Pods, he'd probably be Moses Malone. If you gave it to Moody or Sam, like, I really believe they shown me with lesser athletic gifts, how can he out-rebound you? And I think you could be like, oh, it doesn't matter. But you're not in Brooklyn. You're not in Portland. It matters. The coach is telling you this is the compass for you to stay on the court. So I want JK. Now, it's easy for me to fat mouth and say it should be easy for him. But, Willard, I played at a level to where rebounding is a want.
Absolutely.
And if you gave Pods, Moody, or Santos Kuminga's body, He might 15 rebounds.
I'm glad you brought up Pods, because do you remember there was a press conference after a game? I want to say it was in Denver. Do you remember when Steve started banging on the table?
He went at him.
He went at him. You can't make those stupid plays.
That happened.
And he admitted to us literally the next week. He's admitted to this to us. And this is why I think the sound clip we just played is important. If they say it into a microphone, let me promise you they've said it off the microphone 50 times. 50 times. Wow. And that's why when I hear that, it's like, oh, God.
Not the first time.
Oh, you're practically begging him. And now, what do you do when you're trying to coach someone, whether your parent, someone, coach someone, if you're practically begging him, you're telling him the way to do it, you're telling him the way to do it, and I'm not saying J.K. doesn't do it, but he doesn't always do it. I think we can all agree on that. Okay, and he's not doing it. He's not doing it. He's like, fine, I'm going to go to the microphone and be like, here's what Gary does, and that's what we're going to ask Jonathan to do. And Jonathan is 22. He's not 7. He's 22, and I know that's young in the NBA, but it's not like, right?
Yeah. If this is your fourth year.
He's not a baby. So it feels to me in listening to Steve this time, he's like, okay, here's the assignment.
Right. No doubt.
And that's it. Like, I'm not going to drive you there. I'm not driving you there. I'm not giving you a ride tonight. You get yourself there, get yourself home, and if you do it really well, you are going to earn more and more and more leeway. But if you don't, then Guy Santos is about to play 25 minutes.
Yeah, and I told Steiny, he's already, Guy Santos is going to get Kuminga's old minutes.
Probably.
So we're
going
to see more of him. So it's just incumbent for Kuminga to take advantage of this. But Willard, I love, because I'm not about division or separating, because it always ends up getting to that. Pods and Kuminga, one, don't even play the same position. So they don't cancel each other out. But we take millions of calls. Oh, why is it this way? But I forgot, and I feel better now, and I want to tell the people, the Jackals, Pods got called out.
Absolutely.
I forgot that.
Deservedly so.
Nothing is happening to Kuminga that he hasn't done with the other dudes, and I forgot about
this
that.
This is the NBA. This is the National Basketball Association, and it's the Golden State Warriors. They're like, at a certain point, there is no room for holding hands. Like, you've watched, and I always think about it this way. Like, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and we could keep going. These are people that when the Warriors play those guys, everybody gathers at midcourt, and they hug each other.
That is fact.
And they love each other.
Not the Jimmy Butler Miami
thing.
They
miss each other.
Yeah.
But Steph Curry also sat in a back room and nodded his head and said, trade him.
Yeah.
Because I want to win. And right now, for whatever reason, one reason or another, there's another way for us to go that I think is going to help us win. That's it. You've got to be contributing to winning. So, yeah, Pod's got it too.
Let me throw this to you. I don't know how much time we got, but real quick here.
Yeah, we got plenty.
So, I asked Steiny this last week. If we found out, and this is just a guru computer going off, that Kuminga was no longer available this season, do you think the Warrior helicopter can get to the same heights without him as they could with him? Because that's where I'm at when I'm pro Kuminga on Willard. I told you and did. He's the wild card to me. I don't think that helicopter can get to the ultimate plateau that we talked about earlier without the possibility of Kuminga bringing it. But the Steiny sometimes of the world and other people are like, goo, Santos could fill that role. And maybe you're right, but does your heart tell you if they didn't have him at their disposal, that ain't going to be the reason we don't get it done?
I'm
married to, yeah, you need him.
I think conceptually you're right. Define him.
The good version of.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what they're saying.
He said, describe him.
Who is him? Right? Like, if he's playing at his best, and if he is maniacally hustling,
incredible, man.
And if he's rebounding, and if he's playing defense, and if he's locked in, if it's fitting, and it's all that, then of course. And I also think it's matchup reliant. There are certain matchups where Jonathan will be more important than others because
I appreciate you
you're going against young athletic teams, you absolutely
have swallowing the whistle. Right. So when he's going to the rack, maybe he could play through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been, this is the, my favorite part of Jonathan since he's come back is he's hitting his free throws.
And that, I
you
pointed
know
that out.
That's my thing. That is my thing. And he's doing that.
Because you are a liability. And, get fouled all, they're going to foul you on purpose.
Yeah, and if you're shooting 60%, like,
who you helping?
Right. So, I think conceptually you're right, but
we haven't seen
that's still a work in progress.
We haven't seen him.
Yeah. You want to take some calls real quick?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go to Caleb in Livermore. Hi, Caleb. Caleb, what's going on?
Hey, Dave, Friday.
Come on. Let's go, Caleb. About a quarter of that check is already gone. But anyway,
all of it.
What are you saying?
Hey, wait, hold on. Am I hearing goo on
the CTL? Yeah, little OT, there's baby. No way. Yeah.
Nah. Hey, Willard, you got this guy to come in on overtime?
That's the kind of juice I got around here, Caleb. You know what I mean? It's like when Steve Kerr points at somebody on the – get in here. Yeah. We need you. Let's go.
And there you go.
No, I'm very, very appreciative.
That's your nickname on 95.7 The Game, Big Will.
I'm very
Big
appreciative.
Big Will, all right.
I'm appreciative of Goo's kindness and his energy for this.
There you go. There you go. But look, it'll be quick, man, because I know Goo got to get out of there. But I think, man, I want to ask you guys, what do you guys feel is the biggest key to the Warriors keeping that 60? Do you feel like it's just straight up having Steph Curry healthy for this stretch of the last, what, 8 games? Do you feel it's going to be key role players like Pods? Obviously, with GB2 gone, like Kuminga, Moody, Post. Like, what do you feel is the major key for the Warriors to secure that 60?
This is an interesting question, Caleb, because you asking it makes me want to pull the schedule up, and I hate playing the schedule game.
Because I know the Lakers are on there and the Clippers.
The Lakers, thanks, Caleb. It's not even just that. Like, next week, things get really hard.
Man.
You got to go to Memphis Tuesday. You're in L.A. Thursday. You turn right around and play Denver back here on Friday night, and then Sunday host Houston, followed by Tuesday, you go to Phoenix.
That's a gauntlet.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. So, a week ago, we looked at the Atlanta and Miami game.
And we went,
those are wins, which is why I hate playing the schedule game, because I don't know which star is Jokic in. Is he out? Is LeBron in? Is he out? Is Steph in?
What do they need to do, though, on their own? It's three-point shooting I'm getting worried about. Buddy Hield, I didn't understand why. And Kerr, to his credit, was married to Buddy. Like, but now it's coming into focus, Will. We don't have a lot of three-point shooting. 9 for 38? I don't even want to start saying that's a bad night, but you tell me if I'm wrong. Like, we're seeing that more on occasions to where – is that how this Warrior team's going to go? If Jimmy's not ultra-aggressive to where, oh, we didn't make it?
Three-point shooting, I hate this part of it because it's not great analysis, but it comes and it goes. And it's a lot better from role players at home than it is on the road.
I heard you say
and
that.
Half these games are at home and half of them are on the road and all of that. They're going to have to catch a little fire from three, and I think that they're going to have to be maniacal on defense.
There we go.
They're going to have the energy to play four
quarters
on defense.
Not what we saw in Miami and Atlanta.
Not even close.
They were not there.
And so J.K. is going to have to be really good, too, in that role. That's why Steve's talking about it. You know, this. Every time we have these Kuminga conversations, they immediately spiral into, well, can he score 23 a night? I don't think the Warriors give a crap.
And I'm a part. But I've seen him a couple years ago, Willard, pick up. I can hear Stoddy now. Who cares? He picked up LeBron and made it difficult.
He can
do it. Against the Nuggets when we were about to come back, he knocked it out. After Russ was feeling comfortable, Kuminga was on him and knocked the ball away.
But doesn't that make it worse? That doesn't make it worse.
It's a tease.
You can do it.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So you got to do it.
Wow, that's
you gotta
song.
Go do
yeah,
it.
Nothing to it but to do it.
Yeah, you gotta go do it.
Doesn't that make it worse? Wow, knowing he can do it.
Knowing he can do it. I do think there's angst and frustration, not like in the moment, but through the years. There's obviously been a chasm of some sort. You know, the playoffs 2 years ago, Jonathan and his agent. Sending Shams to Twitter,
losing faith
in Steve Kerr and all of that, and has he not played him enough? Maybe. I mean, we can get into that whole argument, But I don't think there's stress in this moment other than that, like, well, now you're being forced into it. They know you can do it.
Time
but
is running out,
they're also
too.
Not doing it by choice. He's being forced into that role, and they absolutely need it. Now, I will also say this, based off the question, what is the key for them getting the six seed?
Yeah.
I think if you really want to be, like, objective, right now, as I look at things and guess the
because they're the seventh now.
I don't think they're going to get the six.
Because
their schedule
Their
schedule is way harder than the Clippers.
Then that would be playing city.
And the Clippers are playing.
Oh, there. If Kawhi he can go out in a millisecond.
Exactly.
I'm watching like, uh-oh.
They're playing as well as anybody in the NBA.
And Zubac is Shaq to us even every time we play.
For sure. And Harden is Harden. And Clippers right now are a problem. And they've got a bunch, of New Orleans's. And all
on the
of it,
schedule.
Oh gosh. Wait till you hear what you want to hear what they're doing next
give it
week.
To me.
This is what the Clippers are doing. Now they have to be in Cleveland on Sunday, and then they're in Orlando on Monday. That's a tough back to back for the Clippers. Then they come home. You ready for the homestand? New Orleans, Dallas, San Antonio, and then Houston.
They would have to really just blow it
totally.
For them not to Like the Warriors, how far are they from five, Will? Like could they put something together to get five?
I mean, maybe Memphis is the target, not the Clippers.
Real quick about Memphis, they fired their coach. I've never seen anything like it with nine games left. Aldama got pushed by Bane, who's a team captain. I don't know if you saw that against Utah.
No.
He made this rounds. And I got to believe Jenkins is a fiery coach to where he tried to take Bane on or give him a message, and it didn't go. How do you – or are they galvanized that he's gone?
I mean, Desmond Bane is their third best player.
So
like,
I said,
coaching changes because Desmond Bane. Like I have no idea what the hell's going on. They're 44-29, and they're injured.
And Ja's body length. Just there's something about Ja that rubs me the wrong way when he's in street clothes. I could be wrong, Willard. I'm like, could you have really played?
I've always.
Or if you don't like your coach, is that the difference? Where nobody knows the difference if you play. How can you do? You're fifth.
From my standpoint, though, without knowing anything that's going on in there,
neither do I.
There's a piece of it, if you take the record out of it, where you're like, I'm not surprised. Memphis has always had a leadership problem. They've got a huge leadership problem. You want to look up and down this Western Conference.
But the owner fired the coach. The players, the players.
Understood, but no, but even if the coach stays, look at the players they have.
Oh. Man.
Like, Ja Morant is not a great leader. Look at when he was about to rise to superstardom.
He blew it.
He torpedoed his career, at least momentarily. Right?
Wow, man.
You look around at all of these other teams they're competing against. From LeBron to Jokic to Shea to Steph to Kawhi. They've got a leadership problem.
Do you think
problem.
We find out what... You could be like, who cares, Goo? But I do. What could have happened? That's never happened, Willard.
I don't know if we'll find out. I remember when we were like, are we going to find out what was going on there with Ja and Adam Silver? And we never did.
Yeah.
We never did. All right. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. I'll take more of your phone calls just on my own here coming up next.
I had a ball, man.
You should start your weekend.
Yeah.
But, dude, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
That was
really fun.
What? We're blessed. This ain't work.
No.
Okay,
No.
All right.
Gratitude, the attitude.
There it
sure.
is. I hadn't heard that one.
All right, brother.
Yeah, have a
thank
good weekend.
Thank you so much. All right. Okay, so Willard and Dibs continues with just me, and Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us here in a half hour. Your phone calls next, because coming up next, I think I can help on this Jonathan Kuminga conversation. I want to at least give it a shot. I think I can help calm everybody down on both sides, which I wish didn't exist. I'm going to try. Coming up next, your phone call is certainly welcome on Willard and Dibs. Willard and Dibs. Dibs is not here. Guru has started his weekend. Steiny did a long time ago, so it's just Willard here hanging out, which means if you want to weigh in on anything, I would love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. You can send us a text. You can chat it up on YouTube. I've been doing that already with everybody there. So let's ride. Glad you're with us. And indeed, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We're thrilled to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. Okay. So I would like to attempt to help in this, this daily Jonathan Kuminga conundrum that seems to be plaguing all of the Warrior fans in the Bay Area. You know, and I talked about it earlier this week. I really hate the idea that you have to, like, pick a side. Like, he's wearing a Warrior jersey, so I hope all of his shots go in. I hope he flies. I hope he makes every free throw. I hope he defends like a just a crazy person. That's what we all want to see. So I would like to attempt to help, because when I hear this conversation every day, I really do feel like it's going the wrong way. We're talking about the wrong thing. It seems to denigrate into this idea of whether or not Jonathan Kuminga is a really, really good player or not. He's either overrated or he's underrated and he hasn't been given the right chance. And invariably where this conversation falls is, do you believe that he might be a future all-star or not? And I would like to attempt to change the conversation. And I would like to use a former San Francisco Giant and current Los Angeles Dodger, who I root harder against than anybody else in all of sports right now, to help illustrate my point. And that person is Blake Snell. So if I asked you, is Blake Snell a good pitcher? Is he a really good baseball pitcher? What would you say? Obviously, everyone would be like, yeah. Like, this guy has won the Cy Young Award in both leagues. Like, Blake Snell is a really, really good pitcher. All right. Then why did the San Francisco Giants not even call him in the offseason? He was their free agent. They were in need of starting pitching, and the Giants didn't even call him. Why would that be? I would argue because Blake Snell is a really good pitcher, but he's not the type of pitcher that the Giants were looking for. Buster Posey does not think that Blake Snell is like a great teammate, and he didn't love his approach to the game. So therefore, he's a really good player, but he's not the right fit with the San Francisco Giants. Fair? Okay. Now, before you say, I'm over here saying Jonathan Kuminga is a bad teammate, no, that's where the comp ends. What I would like to attempt to do is get all of us on the same page that Jonathan Kuminga is a very good basketball player. He is a young, growing, very, very good basketball player. Can everybody on both sides of the aisle, can we sit down and just agree with that? Can we get applause on both sides of the room? Jonathan Kuminga, good basketball player. So if we use that as the baseline, I think we can remove the frustrating debate. What ends up happening, though, is then we get to comments like what we heard from Steve Kerr yesterday after practice. I would like to play both of them for you, and then we'll go from there. Because it is tucked into these comments that I believe we figure out the whole problem that the Warriors and the fan base might be having about Jonathan Kuminga. It's not whether or not he's a good basketball player. It's whether or not he is effectively willing and able to do the things that this basketball team happens to need him to do now. So I hope in some tiny little way that takes all of the, quote, disrespectful and offensive comments off the table. Nobody's insinuating that Jonathan Kuminga is not really good at basketball. But this particular team needs him to do certain things a certain way. And so far, he's not really proved that he can do that. It's just like Blake Snell. Really good pitcher, can strike out a lot of people, but this Giants team needed somebody who was going to be a better leader in that spot, so they went and got 42-year-old Justin Verlander instead. You lead our young pitchers, because you seem like your head is screwed on much straighter. You may not be as dynamic, you're a lot older, but you can do what this team needs right now. And that's where I think we sometimes struggle with Steve Kerr
and what he says and does with Jonathan Kuminga. So again, with Gary Payton now out, Steve said this after practice yesterday.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Okay, so I pointed this out earlier with Goo. What's interesting to me there is that Steve doesn't just say, yeah, Jonathan's going to step in now into the role of being our defensive stopper. He starts going through specific characteristics. We need you to pick up full court. We need you to harass. We need you to absolutely get in the shorts. Now I'm adding words, but in the shorts of the player you're guarding, like you need that whole, all those sayings, pick him up off the team bus, all of those things. That's what Steve believes this team needs right now. And then he uses the P word. Listen to this next comment from Steve.
He's got a lot of potential in that regard, and you know I think it's right there for him to we'll give him some tough assignments here coming up, and but it's always in the context of the team and team defense, five-man unit, and that applies to everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an on-ball defender or off-ball defender, you got to be in sync with everyone else. I thought we lacked that the other night. We had some mistakes on our own switching, coverage mistakes, so a lot of stuff to tighten up.
Potential. It's a big word. It's a big word in this particular conversation, in this situation, coming from Steve Kerr, who's worked with a player for 4 years, and then there has been the push-pull about playing time, about role, about ability, about ceiling, all of those things. And Steve is still using the word potential. So remember, Steve said to us earlier this year, I say nothing into a microphone without thinking about it first. Nothing. And all of that went into microphones. That's why we have it recorded. So Steve knew exactly what he was doing, challenging Jonathan Kuminga to go do exactly what he needs him to do right now. Not be disrespectful and be like, I don't think Jonathan's any good. That's not what he's saying. This team, for better or for worse, runs around Steph Curry. And if Steph Curry's not there, it now runs around Jimmy Butler. Those are just the damn facts. That's just how it's got to be. Is life always fair? Every one of you listening knows that it's not. And everybody gets their lot in life and gets their thing. And this is Jonathan's in an NBA sense. He got drafted to a great team that already has great players on it. So that's what this team needs him to do right now. And to this point, he has not shown the team that consistently he can go do it. Let me give you another analogy. Let's have a little bit of fun with this. And because I think it helps sometimes to make fun of ourselves. You know what I mean? Steve and Jonathan, sometimes when I hear this commentary before and after games, they sound a little bit like a married couple that's been together just a little bit too long. And it doesn't mean that both sides aren't good at what they do. Like, for instance, guys, and this one's for you. Are you a good husband? And if you're married and you have kids and you conduct yourself in a respectful manner, I bet you think that you are a good husband. I bet you think that you do all of the right things. But she has been asking you now for 12 years to stop leaving the toilet seat up. She's been begging you, can you stop leaving the toilet seat up? And sometimes you put the toilet seat down. Sometimes you do it. Possibly even most of the time you put the toilet seat down. But you don't put the toilet seat down all the time. And every time she sees that, it drives her nuts because she knows you have the potential. You have the potential to put the toilet seat down. But you don't put the toilet seat down every time, which means on some level, the way that that is going to land with her on some level, you are not receiving her coaching. You are not fully believing that what she is saying is a big deal is a big deal. Instead, you're focused on, yeah, but I drive the kids around. I help in the kitchen when I can. I go to work every day. I provide for this family. The bank account's in pretty good shape. Like, I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. There's the issue. You're doing what you think makes you a superstar husband and a dad. But you may not be doing what the people around you are coaching you to do and believe that that household needs for you to do. You don't do them all the time. And I think that when that happens, it sort of, it wears people down over a period of time. It's about a priority list. How high does that thing get on your priority list? If I'm confusing people, I don't think I am. I know it's a little silly, but the toilet seat here represents defense and rebounding for Jonathan Kuminga. Did everybody get that? That's the toilet seat. That's defense and rebounding for Jonathan Kuminga. Okay? So he has the potential to do that all the time. And he does it sometimes, but he doesn't do it all the time. And this team needs him to do it all the time. So you can't get happy about doing the thing that you, in your priorities, that's what makes it go for you. That's scoring the basketball for Jonathan Kuminga. He's thinking, I got a contract situation coming up, and that's how it gets done. We go out there and we score points. That's what people see. But that's not the thing. That's not the thing. And sometimes we laugh that stuff off too, right? If we go back to the analogy of the family, everybody's done this, right? I sent you to the store to get diced tomatoes. And you came home with garlic bread because you're like, whoa, that looks good. And so you got garlic bread and you brought it home. And then the dinner party happens and there's no diced tomatoes. And she's sitting there being like, I asked you to do one thing. I literally asked you to do one thing. And you kind of laugh it off. You're like, I just got distracted. There was a friend there that I ran into and I got going and I saw the garlic bread and I came home. But we've got garlic bread. It's okay, right? To you, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And that's what I hear. I hear somebody who, quite frankly, is kind of like, I don't want to say he's at the end of his rope, but he's tired. He is definitely tired. He's tired of the fact that the toilet seat keeps being left up. And all we do every day, especially here at 95.7 The Game, we wake up, we take a shower, we come in here, and we scream about Jonathan Kuminga taking the ball to the rack. That's it. He can cook, Mark. He can cook. You got to see him. He can get to the free throw line. He's athletic. He can fly. And Steve over here, we're going, this stupid Kerr guy, he won't play him. And he doesn't like young people. And Steve is over here in the corner going, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not even thinking about Jonathan going to the rack or his leaping ability. I just want him to rebound the basketball. That's what I hear. And so when people want to have this conversation and talk about why the hell does he love Brandon Pajemski so much, and it's a curious conversation for some, and I've heard people even bring up things that go as far as race when it comes to Brandon Pajemski and his playing time versus Jonathan Kuminga's. And I literally think you can simplify that conversation as far as you want to and pick up a box score every day and just look at the rebounding category. That's it. That's it. If you want to simplify it, look at the rebounding number. And Brandon's is higher than Jonathan's almost every time. And I think it drives the Warriors coaches batty. Nobody's saying Jonathan's not awesome. We just got to go. This team needs him to do something else. Something that he won't consistently do, even though everybody knows he can. My God, you're all right. He can fly. So do it. Do it. Do it on both ends of the floor.
just want to see Jonathan, like, really, really play hard. Just be dripping sweat every time he comes off of the floor. And I bet you would see a completely different scenario as far as minutes, role, approach, everything. All of that. I really, really do. Let's go to Manny in Houston. I'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Hey, Manny, thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, Willis?
How we doing?
I'm great, man. You know, I'm excited for the game tonight. I think it's going to show us a lot of what we need to see. But to your point, I don't want to say Kuminga is a bad player. I mean, he's in the NBA, for God's sakes. You know, so he's got some talent. But I think, and you said it perfectly, people like Gee, people like Moody, people like Pods, even at the beginning of the season when everybody was hating him for his shooting and trade Pods, bench Pods, he shouldn't be on the team. I was the one consistent saying he still gives you ultimate effort every time down the floor. He's taking charges. He's rebounding. He's trying on defense. And I think that's even you can say Buddy Hield, even when he's struggling, he still is never short of effort, running as fast as he can down the floor, getting his hands out for a steal. So I think for me personally, what you said it too, you just need to see Kuminga giving that effort. Now, I'm no GM, but, you know, let him see what he's worth in the open market. Take advantage of that because, I mean, I still think our biggest problem since the Jimmy trade is our point of attack defense. I love Moody. I rock his jersey every day. I love Pods, but those guys are not a point of attack defender. Jimmy, I don't know how he'll do against a Luka, a LeBron in the playoffs, but I think we'll be a little bit better once we've kind of defined that. I just think we're still missing Wiggs on the defensive end.
That's interesting. Maybe. Manny, thank you very much. It's a good call. There's a couple things in there that I might, kind of bat back at you and play tennis a little bit. Like Moody is not a point of attack on ball defender. If you'd said that to me 5 months ago, I'd have given full agreement. But man, he's improved. He has improved and he has literally made a handful of game changing plays with his straight up on ball defense just in the last 3 weeks. Moses Moody has done that. And I want to make sure we point that out because, by the way, that's key to our conversation. Like Moses Moody, who is nowhere near as athletic as Jonathan Kuminga, he has done that. He has changed games. He won the Detroit Pistons game. You could argue it was one of about two or three plays that were the most important plays. And you're talking about what is a literal, like, young budding superstar in Cade Cunningham with the ball coming down the floor. This is after Draymond's big three, just inside of 30 seconds. Warriors are up two, but here comes Cunningham with the ball. He crosses half court, and Moody trips him up and picks him clean. And the ball goes straight to Draymond. He grabs it. He's fouled. He hits a free throw. Warriors win. Massive win. And Moody has made plays like that. And Jonathan, I don't know how many full-blown opportunities he's had to do that yet, which is the beauty for me in this moment. The beauty of this moment is that for everyone who wants to scream about more opportunity for Jonathan Kuminga, well, bang, here it is. We have arrived. We have arrived at a rubber meets the road moment for Kuminga as far as being able to do what the Warriors need him to do, and the stakes could not be higher. They go into a stretch of 10 games. They probably need to win at least 7 of them for this to be any sort of a realistic play for the Warriors. There's some really good opponents out there, and other teams are starting to heat up, and their schedule is easier. And Gary Payton goes down. So it's like, all right, here you go. Let's see you do what we believe you have the ability to do. But it has nothing to do with scoring the basketball. And so that's kind of what I would, at the end of all of this conversation, whenever the hell we get there, that's what I would suggest. It's what I try to do. If you want to have a Jonathan Kuminga opinion, stop looking at points.
Let's look at this through a completely different lens, which is hustle plays and rebounding and on-ball defense, things that don't show up, Guy Santos type stuff. How about George in Los Altos? Hey, George, what's going on? Thank you for the call.
I lost data, and I was hoping you guys could educate me. I watch every game, and all I can remember is Curry and Thompson consistently scrambling, running around, creating the play. Just from them just running around creates stuff. And we're talking about Kuminga right now, and you know, can he, like, take a notebook from a Thompson or a it's Curry and just run around, create stuff? You saw how they used to mix it up, and then you get the Draymond giving it the pass to somebody under the basket. And I'm not seeing that. So educate me. Why is that not happening, or am I just seeing it wrong?
No, George, it's an interesting question. Appreciate the call. Here's the only answer I can give is the one I would give, is that's not what Jonathan can do. That's a completely different skill set. And so, therefore, there's nothing wrong with that. Jonathan has his skill set. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have their skill set. Jonathan running miles per night and then grabbing a ball and having a quick shot, unbelievably fast release three-point, that's not his game. So he's never going to look like that, and I don't think the Warriors would ask him to do that. I think it's their job to put him in his best position to succeed, but his job is then to start caring a little bit more about the other end. Again, for me, the Kuminga conversation is not about the offensive end of the floor. It's the other side, and that's where everybody can meet in the middle and things can go well for Kuminga. On-ball defense, rebounding, maniacal behavior when the other team has the ball. That's where I think his key is. Warriors are in New Orleans tonight. Tip is set for 5 o'clock. Warriors Live coming up in a half hour, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're also sponsored by Ceremony Ford. Very thankful that you're with us. More of your phone calls still ahead around the bend, but also we'll get Bob Fitzgerald in on this conversation. Fitz joins us from New Orleans next on Willard and Dibs.
Online at atcopestcontrol.com now. ATCO Pest Control, guarding homes, stopping termites.
Hop into spring fun at History San Jose's Spring Egg Extravaganza on Saturday, April 12th from 11 o'clock a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Join us for egg hunts, exciting crafts from around the world, interactive story time, face painting, balloon artists, and of course, photos with the Easter Bunny. Rain or shine, the fun goes on at History Park. Egg hunt tickets are limited. Grab yours today by visiting historysanjose.org.
Big goals take more than hard work. They take the right support, and that's where My Outdesk comes in. Our experienced global virtual assistants handle the busy work so that you can focus on growth without the high cost of hiring in-house. From nurturing your sales pipeline to improving your customer experience, we help you get more done with less. Your goals, our talent. My Outdesk delivers. Learn how at myoutdesk.com.
Losing weight shouldn't be a struggle, and at Jumpstart MD, it doesn't have to be. Our licensed clinicians provide personalized weight loss solutions, including GLP-1 medications, available with or without insurance. With 13 Bay Area locations and online visits available, expert medical support is always within reach. Access to these revolutionary weight loss medications without insurance may not last long. So call to learn more today. Call 855-JUMPSTART or visit JumpstartMD.com. Jumpstart MD, science-backed weight loss designed for you.
Hey, this is Mark Randy, and I'll be broadcasting live at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill on Saturday, March 29th from noon to 3. Come join me and take advantage of one-of-a-kind opportunities on floor models and factory direct pricing. Don't forget to visit Friedman's Appliance Red Tag Sale for the best time to save big.
T-Mobile Home Internet is all about speed, value.
What you doing, Zach?
I'm personally, there are so many benefits. You gotta talk fast.
T-Mobile Home Internet ranks number one in customer satisfaction for home wireless internet by J.D. Power.
Wow, you are good.
Try singing it. T-Mobile has price lock.
They won't raise your rate on internet.
Hulu and Paramount Plus on them.
Get T-Mobile Home Internet all in for just $55 a month with auto pay and any postpaid voice line.
Additional terms apply. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
What if your limited inventory had unlimited potential? What if your biggest risk was not taking one? What if you could make every move matter? Bank of America's Business Solutions can help bring your biggest what-ifs within reach. Find out how our digital tools, cutting-edge insights, and trusted expertise can work for your business. What would you like the power to do? Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check you have your phone first, before the cab pulls away.
Hey, thanks, man. No, wait, my phone, come back! It's got my boarding pass, credit cards, phone numbers, my life, come back!
Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliate.
Now going out to the River Islands guest line to hang with our buddy Bob Fitzgerald on the broadcast for the Warriors. And Fitz, first off, thanks for doing it, especially on a game night. And I'm curious, with all the travels, the national broadcasts, what has this week been like for you? What have your travels been?
I've been on the team plane and in the team hotel and done every game.
Okay, so no, well, that's my,
this,
I meant.
Is this a trick question?
No. I didn't want the itinerary. I sort of meant like there's been a lot made of this whole Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans thing. A lot of the downtime. Like, how do you think the guys have handled the week?
Well, I mean, it's the stupidest road trip I've seen in 32 years. And I don't know, you know, the NCAA tournament is at Chase Center, so that's understandable. But I saw this in August when they put out the schedule, and to come to Orlando and Charlotte and not play Miami and Atlanta on the same road trip made no sense. So they were on a road trip that went Orlando, Philly, Charlotte, Knicks on a back-to-back, and then Brooklyn. And then 2 weeks later is Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, San Antonio, Memphis, L.A. to come home on the back end of a back-to-back to play Denver after being on the road for 14 days. So, you know, the time off is what it is, but to have played a game Saturday in Atlanta on the 22nd and then to play one game in 5 days before we played New Orleans tonight, I mean, made no sense at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, kind of... so I just think that, yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't, I've done this for 3 decades, and, you know, I just know that Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, and Orlando are really close to each other, and New Orleans is not that far away. I just never understand how the league does not have a map when they send teams out on flights. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a little bit more the answer that I was searching for, because it's an awkward time, and part of what you're talking about hasn't even happened yet. There's some hard games and a weird schedule next week. So what are your hopes, expectations, and fears for that week?
Well, I think, you know, you look at New Orleans tonight, and it's a game the Warriors desperately have to get, because you only have 10 games left, and you stubbed your toe against Atlanta and Miami. And the Miami game's a little more understandable, because the Heat shot 17 of 25 on threes. That's the fifth best percentage ever in an NBA game, with 25 or more attempts. So that was a Haley's Comet kind of shooting night for Miami. And, you know, they won, and that's fine. But New Orleans, San Antonio become incredibly critical, because the Warriors' entire season is going to be determined with at Memphis, at Lakers, back-to-back home against Denver, and then Houston. Those four games are going to decide, are you the sixth seed? Are you the seventh seed? Are the eighth seed? You know, and where are you going into the play-in? Do you have a home court? Are you in a real series in 3-6 and avoid the play-in? Like, that stretch is going to decide everything. So you better get New Orleans and San Antonio to make that four-game stretch at Memphis, at Lakers, back-to-back home, Denver, and then Houston really matter for all it should matter. So that's why tonight becomes incredibly critical.
Fitz, the comments about the Miami game aside, obviously, yeah, they were hitting the threes. Maybe on an individual basis, though, it seems like last couple weeks the Warriors have run into a lot of individuals who have kind of careered it. So do you believe that they have just run into a few different buzzsaws, or is there something defensively going on that contributes to what they're seeing?
I think a lot of people do a lot of overthinking. You know, prior to this year, without Steph Curry, the Warriors were 14-46. So, what are the commonalities of the Atlanta and the Miami games?
Yeah.
You play without Steph Curry. So, you know, Denver shockingly lost a bunch of games without Jokic. The Lakers shockingly lost a bunch of games without LeBron. Milwaukee shockingly loses a bunch of games without Giannis. Like, this is not, people still need to stop overthinking these things. You know, you have one of the top 10 players in the league that is an enormous part of your offense. And your offense is linked to your defense in the NBA because when you're not scoring, even though everyone says, hey, you should run back and guard just as well. No, when the ball doesn't go in the basket, the Warriors get sad. So that leaks into everything else you do on the, you know, defending, rebounding, extra efforts, all that kind of stuff. When, you know, you run up and clank, you know, shockingly, you're not as motivated to run back on the other end. It shouldn't be that way. It just is that way.
I hadn't thought of that analysis that the Warriors might be sad a little bit too much on this roadie.
I'm just saying, when the ball doesn't go in the basket, I'm sure everybody gets sad. I know calling the games, I get sad.
Yeah.
So, that's just part of the deal. So the offense is built to revolve around Steph. So when you don't have Steph, they makes things pretty janky, you know. And it's not that, and I said this even in the Denver game, where Denver rallied up and had a nice game without Jokic and without Jamal Murray. You can do that for a one-off. Guys can have a, you know, come to Jesus game without your star one time, and that happens a lot. But you can't do it over and over again. And so, you know, the Warriors won a game against Milwaukee, you know, without Steph. But then you go on the road and it's no Steph in Atlanta, no Steph in Miami. Like, that's the reason they're 14-46 without him. Now this year they're 7-5. That's still really good. But they were way better until they lost the last two. They were 7-3. So yeah, so there's about 15 stars in the NBA and there's only five guys that play on the court. So when a team is missing their superstar, that is going to be some very tough sledding. So you can rally up, you know, for one game without your stars, but over time, it's not going to be a winning formula. And so I think for the Warriors, there's a reason they were 14-46 without Steph in previous years, and they're 7-5 without him this year, which is actually quite good, but they had been 7-3. And so losing the last two to Atlanta, Miami, it's the way the league is. The best players must play for your team to be good and for your team to max out. And particularly if you're playing on the road without your best players, that is going to be a major issue.
TV voice of the Dubs, Bob Fitzgerald with us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, what do you make of the GP2 injury and how that will affect the team going forward?
It's a big one. It's a big one because Gary is that wing defender that you can put on another elite scorer and turn the water off or at least slow him down. And, you know, he's just had such a great season. And in recent vintage, GP2's been hitting threes. And then he's the one guy that plays with Steph and Draymond where he can set those screens and then roll to the basket. And, you know, he's the little big man, you know, whether it's dunks or layups, his ability to finish around the rim is just excellent. So, Gary out for any period of time. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the Warriors' last championship run, GP2 got pushed in the back by Dylan Brooks, you know, and missed a bunch of games. But when he came back, that's when the Warriors were at their best. And he was a big part of beating Boston in the finals. So huge, huge piece to what they have. And it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of different guys now because you don't have probably your best wing defender. Now, Draymond's incredible. And you know, Jimmy is a very good defender. But when you had Draymond, Jimmy, and Gary Payton, you know, now you have multiple guys that you can put on different matchups.
Well, you say it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of guys, and it sounds like the first guy up is going to be Jonathan Kuminga. I thought Steve Kerr's comments yesterday after practice were fascinating. Not only that he said Jonathan is the one who's going to take that role, but the way he kind of said it almost sounded like they've been pleading with Jonathan for so long to really focus on defense and rebounding. They believe he can do it, but maybe they haven't seen it consistently yet. So what'd you make of those comments?
Well, I mean, I think Kuminga is definitely going to play play and play more, you know, all the rotations are going to change with Gary out of there because that's about, you know, 18 to 20 minutes a game. So that's going to be eaten up by somebody. But different guys find their spots in different ways. You know, Moses Moody's defense has been very good in the last couple months, but that's consistent playing time and the role that they want him. And Mo has embraced that and done really nice. You know, for JK, sometimes young guys are focused on scoring or other things like that. The one thing the coaches have talked to him about, and you see glimpses of it that gets you so excited, I go nuts on the broadcast, Jonathan Kuminga should be an elite rebounder, an absolute elite rebounder. And yet, why is Steph Curry or Brandon Pajemski rebound the ball better than Jonathan Kuminga? That doesn't make any sense. So at some point, I just believe so much in JK's ability and see him do things that just can't be done by anyone else on the Warrior roster that I get excited for what he can do, but the only person that's going to do that is him. And so, you know, you're always waiting for young guys to take that leap forward. And so here's an opportunity. The team desperately needs it. JK's healthy, which is great because you missed him when he was out. But he's the one that's got to go out and do it. So, you know, Steve's talking about here's an opportunity. And all of Dub Nation is kind of hoping Kuminga embraces that and knocks it out of the park because that would be great for the team and it would be great for him.
Okay, Bob, this is a fascinating statement. I want to dig into that a little bit. Like, what do you see in terms of why that isn't happening? Is it just a young player in a learning curve? Is it defiance? Like, what is it?
The defiance to not rebound the ball? No, I think that would be ridiculous. No, there are things that you see guys do sometimes that they just need to do more consistently. And for young players, that always is the bane of growth in the NBA is to become a consistent player. You know, to know, you and I both have watched a lot of basketball. Do we have an idea what Kevon Looney is going to do when he comes into the game?
Yeah, yes.
We do, right?
He's going to bring his lunch pail.
He's an incredibly consistent player. I do not think tonight Kevon Looney is going to dribble across half court and launch six threes. Okay? That's not what he does. That's not his game. But I do know he's going to go to the offensive glass, and I do know he's going to set screens, and I do know he's going to play defense. So that's what we do know about him. Now, if you look at other guys on the team and you look at other guys in the league, there's plenty of guys like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do tonight. You know, and some of it will be great and some of it will be awful and some of it will be misguided or whatever. That's part of young players in sports is be consistent and follow and do what you do well. And then once you do that, then your coaches can put you in certain situations for the team to perform at its best.
Well, I ask it the way about defiance for this reason, because we often hear that things like defense and rebounding are just effort. And in fact, also, Bob, one of the assistant coaches told me last year that when Jonathan really started to realize that he could score at a high level in the league, he just kind of forgot about defense. So I do think there's a prioritization of what guys are going to do out on the floor. And maybe Jonathan sees himself differently than the coaching staff does. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you're overthinking it. I just think that, to me, in sports, there are people that do things in football and baseball and basketball, hockey. They do things to help you win. Now, the casual fan sees points scored, and they think, this guy scores points. Now, there's a lot of really bad teams in the NBA where there's a lot of guys that score points, and that has nothing to do with winning, because if they could do other things, their team would win more. And so I was just, you know, lucky enough, we played golf the other day, and one of the guys said that's a member of this course is Shane Battier. And Shane Battier, to me, is he a great scorer when you think about him?
No.
Was he a great elite ball handler or this or that? Shane Battier was a winner. Draymond Green is a winner. Jimmy Butler is a winner. Like, you just do things to win basketball games. And so that sometimes they quantify in stats. You know, you'll see rebounds and you'll see assists and block shots and things like that. But are you doing things to win games? And the tough thing with younger players is they come in the league and they think, I need to score because scorers get paid and I want to get paid, and so I'm going to go out and score. Well, we just retired a guy's jersey in Andre Iguodala, who came to the Warriors and focused only about winning, became a Finals MVP, is a likely Hall of Famer, and has his jersey in the rafters. Did Iguodala ever worry about, did he score that night, or did he have assists that night, or did he have rebounds that night, or did he defend that night? No. Andre Iguodala just helped you win every night. And so that's what you have to figure out as a player. And that's not a coach telling you something, and that's not, you know, something where it's, well, hey, go do this, go do that. You got to figure out how to contribute to winning. And that's what makes elite players in our sport. And so, but I just see different guys that have skill sets that can really help you win. We just talked about an injured player in Gary Payton. GP2 is an oddity. He's only 6'3", but he plays like a power forward on offense, and he plays like an elite defensive back on defense. And so he's figured out how to, with the Warriors system, where to plug in to help contribute to winning. And that's got to be the goal right now. For the final 10 games, they need to win. They need to win these games to get their best possible playoff seeding. And then in the playoffs, I don't care who, minutes and points and this and that, did you win four games in a series to kind of advance? These are the things that matter for this team right now.
Bob, what do you make of the West in this moment? All the shuffling, the Clippers are playing phenomenal. Memphis has fired their coach. Like, when you look at the rest of the schedule and everything going on in the West, what kind of stands out to you right now that matters to the Warriors?
Well, OKC's on a different planet. Okay, so, you know, put the Thunder aside. There's a blanket over everybody else. You see the Rockets as the 2 seed, and you're like, hey, the Warriors have done fine against the Rockets. They've won the season series. You know, you see Minnesota. Hey, the Warriors won the season series against them, too. Then you look at the Clippers and the Lakers and Denver and Memphis. You're like, oh, man, those are tough matchups. But could the Warriors beat those teams? Sure. Could those teams beat the Warriors? Sure. You know, could the Lakers beat Denver? Sure. You know, could the Clippers get by Memphis? Absolutely. So I just think it's really cool is that after the 1 seed, OKC being different, that from 2 through 11, you know, could I see the Phoenix Suns with KD and Booker, you know, go nuts and beat a team? Sure. You know, because I watched them beat Cleveland the other night and was like, wow, Phoenix is – there's that firepower now. Anthony Davis is back with Dallas, and you're thinking, all right, now Dallas can be something. So I love it. I love where the league is because there's no, we've got Dodgers, Yankees, and that's going to be the World Series. I mean, there's been 6 different winners in the NBA in the last 6 titles, Warriors being one of them. And I think we might be on our way to a 7th different champion this season. It's been that good.
So what I take from that then is the Warriors better get either a top 6 seed, or if they end up in that 7-8 game, they better win it.
Well, in the 7-8 game, you'd like to be at home. You know, right. So, I mean, right now they're tied with the Clippers, but the Clippers have the tiebreaker. And then in the wonderful scheduling master stroke, they play the Clippers the last game of the season. Yep. And that's awesome. You know, and so that could be for, do you want to be the 6th seed? Do you want to be the 7th seed and host Memphis or Minnesota in a 7-8 game? You know, so, I mean, none of this is going to be decided to the last weekend of the season. I can guarantee you that. So that's what makes these games so critical. And then you see, as you mentioned, Memphis makes a coaching change. Hey, after New Orleans and San Antonio, where do the Warriors go? They go to Memphis.
And
you have the Lakers lose like an unbelievable game to the Bulls last night in the final 12 seconds. And you're like, oh, who do the Warriors finish the road trip at? Oh, at the Lakers. You know, so this is just awesome as far as who the Warriors have left, what's going on in the West, what these games will mean, and this is what you want. You know, this whole, well, the season's too long and this and that, and it probably is, but these last 10 games, man, I could give you a reason to watch every single one of them. That's what's so cool about it.
Bob, have a great call tonight, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Mark. Great hearing your voice. Be good.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Right out of Bob Fitzgerald, straight into this. Steph Curry's playing tonight. 30 is back. So certainly widely expected, certainly hoped for, and now it is a reality. Steph Curry is in for the Warriors tonight. Now, health is something that it's unpredictable. So you don't want to hang that around a player's neck as we get down the stretch here. But I do agree with Bob with what he kind of said back at the beginning of that conversation. Sometimes when things get a little bit difficult for the Warriors or any other team, we are guilty of overthinking it. The last two games, what's the number one headline? Like, we can get into all of it. Well, Jimmy looked passive, and the defense wasn't right, and you know, Kuminga this, or Moses Moody 0 for 9. Get into all of that. The number one headline, I would say, if somebody landed here from Mars and went, what happened to the Warriors the last two games? Steph didn't play. And then we eat. Like, that's it. No, that doesn't tell the whole story, but that's a big part of the story. And I personally believe a fair part of the story. Sometimes it's interesting to me when you hear people say, well, wait a minute. You need to be ready for that. That's why you got Jimmy. No, it isn't. You didn't get Jimmy to replace Steph. You got Jimmy to help Steph. Like, I will openly just say this, and I hope that no Warrior fan is bummed out by this. If Steph's not available in the playoffs, you lose. End of story. And I do think sometimes you have to be sort of uncomfortably comfortable with that as a sports fan or as a franchise. The examples are everywhere, right? Last few years, when Joe Burrow gets hurt, what happens to the Bengals? You lose. That's it. You're out. You know, it like Cowboys last year, I don't know where that was going to go, but Dak Prescott's out. You lose. You lose. 49ers played a game. They went to Green Bay this year, and Brock Purdy was not available. And it was evident. 36 seconds into the game, you lose. So, I don't know what to tell you about all that. Steph Curry is going to have to remain healthy for the Warriors to have an opportunity to do anything over the next 3 weeks and beyond into whether this goes to April, May, June, or whatever. They're going to need him on there. All right, before we start Warriors Live, can we do this one real quick? Yeah, all right. Let's go Watermelon in Hayward. What's up, Melon? What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I listen to you guys every day. I feel
appreciate
like
it.
You got to give Kuminga a break. He's not Franz Wagner, and that's a GM problem. They should have drafted Wagner. Second problem, they got Buddy Hield out there running around, not hitting shots, can't defend, horrible on health side, and he gets way too much play. And everyone's got to pick up his slack on defense. That's my piece.
Well, okay, Watermelon, it's not that it's unfair, although I you know, whenever I get this a lot, oh, you got to give Kuminga a break. I actually think that if you've been listening at all over the last hour and a half, I've given him plenty of a break. I don't think he really needs to be given a break, because I don't think that there's any reason to come down his road. The conversation around Jonathan needs to change. And I also think it's fair in life to expect certain things from people that we don't expect from others. So I'm not going to compare Jonathan Kuminga to Buddy Hield, because that's actually disrespectful to Kuminga. Kuminga can do 100 things out there that Buddy can't do. Buddy was not hired to do what Jonathan can do. Buddy was hired to knock down threes. And sometimes he does it, and sometimes he doesn't, and that's the nature of the beast. He also makes about $8 million a year, and Jonathan is hoping to make 30 or 25 or 40 or whatever the hell, wherever that ends up going. But different rules for different people based on different skill sets and talents. Jonathan can do this. They believe he can do this, but he sometimes doesn't. And so that, to me, is the conversation around him. Buddy Hield cannot be a good defender. He's a longtime veteran in the league. He doesn't do that. And he wasn't brought here to do that. So I'm not going to then get mad at him when he doesn't do that and say, let's lay off Kuminga because that guy over there doesn't do it either. Well, he can't. He can't, but Jonathan can. And so more expectations are going to be there. The Elite Eight is at Chase Center tomorrow. Former St. Mary's player, USF coach Todd Golden, still rolling. Florida Gators, Texas Tech, 3 o'clock. Go to chasecenter.com/events for your tickets. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. The game is an hour away. Let's ride. Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibbs.